Hey, welcome back, everybody. Time for one of my favorite parts of our day here. We're going to tell stories. We're going to tell Ohana stories with our resident Orange County storyteller himself, Ross Chun, who tells everybody, reminds everybody that every family has a story worth telling. Ross?
Ah, absolutely. Aloha, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. I have a very exciting guest. And I always say a wonderful, exciting guest, but in this case, the way we met and the story that she's going to tell is incredible. So I am very happy to welcome Mari Giorgino here to the show.
Thank you, Ross. I'm so excited to be here.
So I usually ask the guest, do you remember how we first met? But I'm gonna jump in here, and I just thought of this because, Mari, you don't know what happened before we met. And a bunch of things happened. So we have been acquaintances a couple of times removed. And one of the things that I found so amusing was every time someone talked about you with me, they cautioned me to pronounce your name correctly. And they said, it's not Mary, it's Mari. And the woman that introduced us, her name is Ramona. And everyone said, now don't get her name wrong, because it's not Ramona, it's Ramona, and it's Mari. And I thought, what is happening? Does everyone think I'm going to get their names wrong? But in fact, I am always very conscious of that. In fact, today at the studio, we have a new person joining us, and it is our intern at Ohana Stories, and her name is Arna, and I have been deathly afraid that I'm going to pronounce Arna's name incorrectly. So now that we know everybody's name, and Paul's got the easiest name on the planet to pronounce.
I'm Paul.
Yes.
Paul.
And Mari, welcome, and thank you for joining me through that whole story. And I don't know if you knew that. So I was at a birthday party for a mutual friend, Katya Bagata, who owns Bistro K in Laguna Niguel. And I was at her father's birthday party. It was his 95th birthday party, right? And yeah. Katya was so busy, and we're going to talk about her a little bit later on. She was racing around, and so I sat down next to Ramona for an hour, and most of that time she was talking about you. And so I got to know you, and then she said, I'm introducing you, but you've got to say her name right. It's not Mary, it's Mari. So here we are, and
all
those steps took place, and everything lined up so that we could meet. And I have been, of course, when we spoke on the phone, you said, I really want to meet you, but I'm leaving for Italy. So there's a lot of things that we're going to cover right now. So first of all, welcome, and tell me a little bit about what you're doing, because you have a fascinating story.
Thank you for having me. I've been a creative director in advertising for over 20 years. And I've stood in countless boardrooms. I've told boards and executives and marketing gurus on, talked to them about the power of an idea and how to build incredible brands. And it's been, and it still is, like incredibly fun. 3 years ago, I thought maybe I could see if I could put my own advice to the test. Could I come up with an idea and build the brand around it that people will love? So at the time, I was making espresso martinis, which they're very popular and very delicious. And I came up with a recipe that I really enjoyed. And a friend of mine said, this is a great drink, why don't you see if this could be your passion project? And I was like, you know what? That sounds great. I knew nothing about how to do it, but I started with one question after the other and Googled my way through it. And 3 years later, I have a product in stores and people are buying it. And it's, I still sometimes catch myself and I'm like, did that actually happen? But yeah, it took 3 years of product development, naming, packaging, advertising, retail displays, sales. And then, of course, there's the marketing components of it, which has been a really fun part and the part I like to say I'm good at. I think it shows I'm good at. And then there's the whole other underneath component that you don't see, right? It's the three-tier industry of the beverage world that I had to learn. It was how to get deals with distributors and how to set up accounts for new stores and distributions and everything that I had no idea I was getting myself into. But here I am.
Here you are. And before we go any farther, we have to talk about the name of the product, because I've had a few people on. Actually, most of my guests have been women, but this is the first time I've had a mad woman on, because that's the name of your product, right?
I guarantee you, Ross, that you've had plenty of mad women sitting here. It's an interesting name. It's one of those things where it's been my nickname for a long time.
Oh, has it?
And it's one of those that when I actually tell people, like, there is a little mad woman in all of us. It's true. Like, women, like, lean in. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm a true mad woman. And it's the part of us that takes the risk. It's the part of us that speaks up. It's the part of us that is not afraid to stand up for herself, to put herself out there and do something that perhaps has never been done before or they've never done before. And it's what's also interesting is that men have picked up my product and they've looked at it and they have chuckled and they've said, I have a couple of these at home myself. And they've bought the drink for their wives and for their girlfriends and for their adult daughters. And so I realized it's like, yeah, it's called Mad Woman, but like it's so relatable to everybody.
And for those of you who are just listening, you're not going to see this, but if you're watching the live stream or you'll later watch the recording, so there are three brightly colored cans. And so there's, I'm assuming, three varieties of the
Correct.
Product. So tell us about each one, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. The yellow can is our signature drink, and it's the espresso martini, the original. I'm going to say it is a low alcohol beverage, so it's 7% ABV, which is actually, it sits lower than a traditional cocktail. Usually traditional cocktails are around 14, 15, up to 20 ABV, where a beer, for example, sits at about 4.5 ABV. And so I wanted a drink that sat right in the middle because I wanted a drink that was inspired by Italian culture of sipping coffee. We're going to share this drink together. We're going to tell each other a story, which is kind of what you do here. And it shouldn't get to your head too fast. And it's really, it's about sharing and conviviality. So next to our original one, we have the cacao, which is the chocolate martini. And it's really popular because it's espresso and chocolate and people are really loving it. And then there's a decaf version, which I've been having the complete two polarizing reactions to a decaf espresso martini. Some people have leaned in and said, yes, thank you. I love espresso martinis. I can't do caffeine. Thank you for having a decaf. And then the opposite reaction is, why would you want to do that? If you're going to have an espresso martini, have a real espresso martini. Who wants a decaf? So it's very interesting how this little blue can is so polarizing to people.
So there's a couple things I've got to ask you. First of all, I understand the decaf because I make these cookies for people. I've never brought them to the studio, and I will. But I make these Kona coffee cookies. And when I started making them, I was putting too much coffee in them. And people were saying they were keeping them up at night. So I understand dialing it back with the caffeine a little bit because no one expects a chocolate cookie to keep you up at night. Mm. You thought in advance or did you get feedback from consumers? First of all, ABV, could you explain that to those of us who are not in the alcohol beverage industry?
Alcohol by volume.
Oh, alcohol by volume.
So it is the amount of alcohol and the percentage of alcohol in a drink.
Okay.
And it's a beer, it's usually considered a light drink. Like you have a light beer in the summer. I'm not a beer drinker. But it is technically considered more of a lighter drink, and that is about 4.5 of alcohol by volume, where a traditional cocktail, which is why sometimes you have one and it goes straight to your head, is 15%, sometimes 20%. They can be really strong. Mm-hmm. And so this sits at the lower to moderate scale.
And then the idea of the blue can of the decaf, was that something that you heard from consumers or you thought, I know what people are going to want, I'm going to give this one a try?
It's interesting because there isn't another can on the market that has a decaf label on it.
Okay.
And so it was just like this entire thing, an experiment. Uh-huh. At first I thought I would do an half calf, like half caffeine and half decaf. And then in talking to some experts in the field, or just in getting feedback from people, I want to make sure that I'm listening to what consumers are saying too. The idea, I'm like, perhaps trying a decaf is not a bad idea. And so, that's how we are.
So you have events. You have pop-up events, and you provide the beverage in different venues. When you go to an event, are you, I'm assuming you're monitoring it because you're a marketer, and seeing which ones are being consumed more than others?
Yes.
How is the decaf one comparing to the other two?
Not as good.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I'm going to be very honest about it. It's interesting. It's the people who want a decaf, they get very excited and they will buy multiple cans. Mm-hmm. But it's not the majority.
Interesting.
The majority of people want espresso with caffeine. Yeah. So it's an interesting balance. I think there's absolutely value in it, but it's not flying off the shelves as much as the other two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when I look at this lineup of these cans, first of all, we were joking before we got on about how the yellow can stands out. And I happen to be wearing a yellow hat today. And I think that we're going to have an event where you're going to be dressed in yellow coming up. And we'll talk about that later, too. But when you pick the colors of the can and the packaging as a marketer, did you have something specific in mind that you were trying to convey with that color choice?
Oh, 100%. So that's the interesting thing about having done marketing for 20 years, and the blessing and the curse of market research. Because you put a yellow can out for an espresso martini in market research, and you will hear, but it's an espresso drink, and the other products are brown and mm-hmm. black and dark and warmer tone, and this is the opposite of it.
I see.
And it's interesting because when you hear that suggestion, I could see why a lot of espresso martinis are brown and black and they are dark and I get it. The marketer in me was like, and that's exactly why I'm not going to do that. I think what I wanted was the feeling of drinking an espresso martini. It's supposed to wake you up and give you energy and be bright and optimistic. And so the yellow can kind of doesn't represent necessarily the drink per se, but it represents the feeling that you get from it.
Okay, so you opened the door to my next question. Paint a picture for us as a marketer. What sentiment, what emotion, what type of environment are you expecting people to be consuming all of these? Or is this a beach party drink? Is this a at-home quiet with your partner drink? What do you see people living to drink this drink and enjoy it at its fullest?
Yeah, I have definitely seen the home environment being a big one. People buy it, they bring it home, they sit down, they try it. It is a more, it's even though it comes in a can, the experience is one to be shared at home with. I've had people bought it for their dinner parties, and I've got messages to tell me how it did. I've got people buy it as they got ready for an evening out. I got people to try it as they are coming back from a night and they want a nightcap at home. I think there is absolutely the market for the beach and the boats. We are in Newport, a great place for it, and outdoor events. And I think you definitely get there. But in terms of like how are people experiencing it, I would say it's at home mostly.
It is. So if any of our viewers and listeners get the chance to follow you on social media, because I've been watching the videos and it's fascinating to me. First of all, it says that on the can, to shake it up before you drink it. And in your videos, many of your videos, you're pouring it into a martini glass.
Correct.
Or what is that strainer that the people are pouring it through? I don't know what it is, but they're pouring it through that and they're consuming it that way. So it seems to have a place in the elegant festive market,
yeah.
But people are actually just drinking it straight from the can as well.
Yes, they're doing both.
Okay.
I would say the majority, I think, but again, like I'm not in every person's house knowing how they're drinking. And thank God, I don't need to be there. So I don't know how much really truly people are shaking it and pouring it versus opening and drinking it. But I can tell you that the feeling and the serving and part of how the brand is being created, it is meant to be shaken and poured into a glass and enjoy it. And that was actually one of the criteria when I developed the product from the very beginning. There is a mouthfeel and a texture, and there's a specific experience when you're drinking an espresso martini. It needed to foam, and the foam needed to be thick so that your cocoa nibs or your coffee beans sit on top and don't sink. Like it has to have a presence. And so these drinks achieve that. They do that. That's why when you shake them with ice and you pour them in a glass, it is beautiful. It looks like it was made in a restaurant, and it also tastes like it was made in a restaurant. Sometimes even better. At least that's what I've been told.
Fantastic. So you've got this product. It's hit the market. You've got, I think, a fascinating story to tell on social media, the things that you're doing, the way it's being served. And I love the videos. What are you doing next with this product? Because you've gone quite a distance with it. It's a product that's available. So what is next for you?
So this started as a creative challenge, right? Can I turn an idea into a brand? Can I put it out in the market? And can I have people love it? And I proved the challenge I set out myself to prove. And so let me start by saying that everything that happens after this is extra. And so I am so excited to get myself into the next rabbit hole. I would love to, and I'm looking specifically for a strategic partnerships at this point. I do believe I took this as far as I could with my own resources, both from operational perspective, financial perspective, logistic experience. There is a place for this product in the market. I know there is. I need help in scaling it. So I'm looking for that partnership.
You're looking for that partner.
Correct.
Right now. And you've put the word out because I saw the video.
And yes.
That is going to be a fascinating next chapter. I will say this, and I mentioned an event coming up. So this Saturday, you are having one of these pop-up events.
Yes.
And it's going to be a brunch tasting at that restaurant I mentioned, Bistro K in Laguna Niguel, and our mutual friend, Katya Bagata, is going to be offering brunch bites and tastes, and then you are going to have each of the flavors, and I think we should keep track of which one does the best.
In fact, we'll do it.
In fact, maybe, let's talk about that. Maybe that's going to be a contest to see which one goes the farthest, because that is going to be an interesting, and if you haven't been to Bistro K before, that I met Katya, she was catering an event for a nonprofit I worked for. And I got this, there were so many things going on. I kept popping into that restaurant and meeting people there. And there is a whole culture and climate and family there. And so I think that's a perfect location for this tasting. It's okay. So it's, before I forget, it's this Saturday. That's the 15th, right? At 11 o'clock. And you're going to be there personally, right?
Yes.
And you're going to be serving and showing people how to enjoy the beverage.
Yes.
And then Katya is going to have her chef and her staff putting together some bites and tastes to go along with it. That's going to be a fantastic event, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm excited to see you promoting the drink in person, because I've seen the videos and I've met you a couple of times, but in a sort of a calm environment. And in
you want to see the madness.
I do want to see the mad woman, because in the videos, you look like you're always having a great time. And so that's why it's so exciting. And so I'm wondering now, you're doing this event this weekend and maybe more events later, so people can follow you on social media and figure out where the next event is coming. Is that how it works?
Yes. And also, if you have a restaurant in the area, if you are curious about having an event for yourself at your restaurant, let me know. You can reach out on my website. You can reach out on Instagram. It's at Drink Mad Woman. And let me know. I think it'll be great. Can I add something about Bistro K and Katya?
Because
I've done some of these events and I love them. Bistro K and Katya are very special to me. They are also friends of Ramuna, who we mentioned. But also, I got to meet Katya's dad a long time ago. And
Tony.
He and I spoke Italian, which was great. And he looked at me and he said, no one who speaks Italian comes to my restaurant and lives empty-handed. And so he sent me off with this bag of freshly made spaghetti that were literally the size of me. That was the length of my height. And so it was he really stood out to me.
Yeah.
And I remember him. And the family has had restaurants for 20 years in Laguna Niguel. They're a great, they're really tight with the community. So it feels very special to go there and have an event there.
And it's special to me. Laguna Niguel is just next door to Aliso Viejo, where I live. And they're in the town center area. But they're tucked away. And it's one of these well-kept secrets, but still very popular. And so that's why I love going there. And they're open 7 days a week, but you can pop in there any day and any time, and you'll run into people or people you want to know. And that's what I love about it. And that's why I think it's so great for your event to be there, because I've gotten to the point with, at least with Tony, I always appreciate it when people recognize me or remember me instead of me explaining who I am. And he's this wonderful white-haired Italian man, and he's got this personality that he can communicate with a wink or with a scowl. And that's why I love Tony. He is a wonderful man. And Katya is caring for both of her parents, and she's working 24/7 to make sure that her customers are happy and to make sure that her family is happy and healthy. And that's why that restaurant is such a center of Laguna Niguel. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy it. And so I'm looking forward to it this Saturday the 15th at 11. And we're going to take some pictures and some videos, and we'll make sure we get those posted too so people can see all of the fun and excitement and enjoyment of Mad Woman, all the flavors, and we'll see which one is most popular. And I think Paul has a comment to add.
I got to ask a question. I try and stay quiet and listen to all this, but I have to say, as I said beforehand, what is the thing with espresso martinis? They're having a moment. My wife, it's her go-to drink. All of her girlfriends. She never ordered that 2-3 years ago. What? And you told the story of how it got started. I thought it was a fascinating story here.
Let's hear it.
So the drink actually started back in England, where when the famous supermodel Kate Moss asked a bartender for a drink that would wake her up and F her up. Those were her words, not mine. And the bartender made this espresso and vodka drink. And that's how the espresso martini started. And it became very popular in the 90s. And now, about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I would say, it experienced a resurgence?
Is that
the word?
Yeah.
That's the word. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it became very popular. And so it's also interesting how people have asked me, why the espresso martinis? I'm Italian. I'm from Naples, south of Italy. Coffee is in my vein. And not only espresso martinis are popular, but I also realized, like, if I ever was going to build an Italian brand, it needed to start with coffee, because nothing happens in Italy before coffee. There was no other product that I could make.
That's perfect. I think that's a great way to end the segment. And thank you very much. And I'm going to remind everybody, this Saturday the 15th, Bistro K at 11 a.m., you can enjoy the beverage and you can enjoy the culinary experience at a wonderful local restaurant. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Ross. This was great.
So there you have it. Proof again that every family has a story worth telling. We're going to try and collect as many as we can right here on Orange County's only community storytelling platform, OC Talk Radio. Streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Lab with our resident storyteller, Orange County's only, Ross Chun, and Hana Stories.